when I read your responses, I'm like, damn, I need to read. Like if the Mises Caucus was its own party, that's what I'd probably say I was.
Right. Yep.
And but I just saw you, the interactions you were having with other libertarians and people on the right and the left, and you were just nailing it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Even someone I worked with, you know, they're pro Trump, and he's like, you know, I get what they're doing. I don't, you know. It's kind of a dumb idea, but I get it. It made more sense than what the left was doing. You know, he's like, they should be up there doing it together.
Right. Yeah.
Cause it is, you know, it is what it is, you know, that at least the root of the problem, you know, they were in the right area. They were over the target, so to speak.
Well, I'm just glad that, you know, we saw the BLM rallies earlier in 2020, and, you know, there was that police station that burned down. So at least they were targeting, you know, in some sense, the people who actually they had a grievance with. But a lot of the times in those riots, they targeted business, random businesses, right? And that's what made a lot of libertarians kind of like, whoa, you know, kind of just back off. But when you compare that to this, it's like, yeah, no, these people actually, you know, even giving them that, you know, the qualifier that, yeah, they didn't actually do this for like libertarian or anarchist reasons, right? That's obviously a given. They still at least went after the people they actually had a grievance with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember early in 2020, I was like, what the hell does Target have to do with anything?
Right.
You know, and then we just saw it escalate, and then it, you know, then the Chaz started, and I'm like, I remember that was going on. I was talking to my wife and I said, I can't believe they're getting away with that. She's like, what do you mean? I go, if it was a bunch of people on the right, that should be Waco'd already.
Oh yeah. Easily.
You know, you see now, you know, I can't believe Kamala Harris and Biden had the stones to get up there and say, if it was BLM or Antifa, you know, whatever, they don't even say Antifa. They say BLM, you know, it would be a lot different. I'm like, well, they were there and you guys named a street after them.
Right. Exactly.
And did a mural.
Right.
So yeah, I guess it was different.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know, but you know what? She kind of has a point though. They didn't go to any of those government places.
That's right.
If they had actually gone to the Capitol, it would, and you know what? They did do it. They did it, Kavanaugh. They did it a couple other times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think if they would have done what they normally, what they did all of 2020, if they would have did that at the Capitol, yeah, that probably would have been different, but they didn't.
Right.
So you can't really compare the two.
And it's also not even comparable, like if you're just comparing the damage done, right? If you look at some of the BLM rallies,
yeah,
some of the damage done to the buildings, the private businesses versus the damage done to the Capitol, it's almost a joke what was done to the Capitol, right? Like, I remember there's this one senator, I don't remember his name, he was taking pictures inside the Capitol building, and it was just some broken glass and broken door frames, right? There wasn't, right, like extensive damage throughout the building at all, really. And, they have the gall to say, oh, this was an attack, right? What it really was is that it made them embarrassed, right? They were embarrassed that the plebs scared them, that they dared to cross that holy line.
The peasants entered the cathedral. Yeah,
that's right. Yes.
And they called it that. They called it their cathedral. They actually said their church. They talked about a desecration.
Yeah.
And this one, I guess she was an aide or something. She goes, this is our home. This is our church.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, well, there was a church that got burned down that's as old as that Capitol building. And y'all didn't care about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that mean, you know, I always say that the government doesn't like competition.
Right.
You know, they don't like competition on who you're worshiping either, you know?
Right. And for, And for them, this is really is a civic religion form, right? That like for them, that it's not just a hyperbole from these people. A lot of these people are true believers, and they really do feel like they were existentially attacked, right? And it wasn't just a building to them. It was a part of their like life, their soul to them that was attacked. And that's why they're so freaked out.
Yeah. And, you know, we look at that, you know, I went to government school.
Yeah.
Hell, I was a federal employee for 5 years, right. You know, and, you know, but I'll look at that. I'm like, what is y'all's problem? You know? And, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm not great. I'm not good at it, but you know, I know who I'm not crossing. That's for sure.
Right.
And, also that's the only authority that I recognize anyway. So,
sure.
You know, call me an anarcho-Christian, I guess. And, but I'll just look and I'm like, how do y'all get that way? And I'm like, well, I guess that's what happens when you gaslight a civilization for as long as they have, and then start with, you know, with the, what, a little over a decade of, identity politics.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This has been boiling in the pot for like years and years, right? This is just, And, you know, not to drop such a black pill, but in my opinion, these are like the dying days of an empire, right? Collapsing. If you look in history, this is very like the civil unrest you see. This is very like last days of Rome type stuff, right? Not quite that catastrophic, but a lot of the stuff is.
Could be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really trace. It's almost like a timeline. I remember this is probably 2008, 2009, and there was this one, you know, it was conservative radio station, but when I look back on it, like they were very libertarian types. And then because when I actually started looking at libertarianism, I was like, oh wait a minute, I know that name Rothbard. Where did I hear that before? Or, you know,
right?
It was on that show. And he was talking about the, I think it was back in the 1200s. It was like a Scottish monk. He wrote a paper called The Life Cycle of a Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Not a monk. He taught at the college in Scotland. I don't know which one it was, but it was like in the 1200s or something is when this was done. But it just went through each step. And it was like, once you started getting to like apathy, and then realizing that you can vote yourselves loot from the public treasury.
Right.
And you start going into that. And like, that's when it started breaking down, and then it's a collapse. And then it's almost like the strong men create good times create weak men, weak men create hard times. And like, it's like that.
Right. Right. Exactly. It's also like democracy rests on the ability to, for the people in power to like, create this illusion that the people are actually in power, right? That's kind of like the whole, that's like how it works. That's like kind of its function, right? It always wants to make it seem like the power is dispersed throughout every single person rather than the center, which it almost always is the center. Yeah. So once people start seeing that, oh yeah, this democratic institution I was told all my life is this virtuous and good thing. Once they start seeing that, oh no, I've been lied to my whole life. This causes in a lot of people some type of existential crisis form. Right. And then they're like, oh, we just have to, you know, there's no possibility we can ever fix this. And that's when you get actually like violence in the street. Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, the most dangerous thing is a group of people that have nothing left to lose, or
that's right.
Or that feel that way.
Well, yeah.
You know, comfortable people don't riot.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and I can't remember what show it was on, or it might have been a video I saw on Twitter, but I can't remember the network of where it came from. And they were talking about how this whole process has shaken the trust in our democracy. And I couldn't believe it. She goes, democracy only works if people believe in it.
Right. Like, that's a very mask off statement.
Too. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think you meant to say that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, someone was like, cut her mic off, damn it.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, more and more they're saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
You just gotta be willing to look. It's like, I saw this girl, I think it was Liz Wheeler. Mm-hmm. And, I don't follow her. So somebody must've retweeted or whatever, but she was like, Go F Yourself Industries retweeted it and said something really funny. But she was like, Parler, I guess, used, you know, I made a joke saying that Parler was a honey trap, but they were using Amazon's cloud
or something. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, you know who else uses Amazon's cloud servers?
Isn't it it's NSA, isn't it?
CIA just did CIA. $600 million contract.
Yeah. Well, also, doesn't Parler like have you put your ID or something? It might not be the ID, but it's something pretty invasive.
It's the same thing I'm sure that Twitter does to get it, like their version of a blue check mark.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Because I mean, I started an account over there. Like, I don't really post anything on it. I was just gonna do it to post shows.
Right.
And I'm probably not gonna do that because it sucks. I hate it.
Well, did you hear it's actually going down? Like Amazon
kicked them off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what she was saying. She goes, Amazon kicks Parler off of their servers. And she goes, even if you are left and you don't like people on the right, do you guys really think that this is okay? I'm like,
right.
If you're asking that, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. If you don't get to the fact that they don't give a shit.
Right.
That, no, it's okay for them to do it to you because you're their mortal enemy. You're the heretic and you have to be banished.
Yeah. And this is going to be like, I think this could serve as like a spark to really radicalize people, right? For good or bad, right?
That, yeah.
Like, once people start, like, the worst thing you can do to a group who feels marginalized and attacked by everyone is to marginalize and attack that group, right? Like, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Where they're just, the thing they feared is going to happen, and the people who are like dismissing their fears are actually creating their fears, right?
Yeah. So feeding into it. You become the thing you hate.
Yep.
And somebody goes, hey, just so you guys know, fascists were never far right. Read a fucking book. and then they're like, we're democratic socialists. I'm like, I was like national socialist. They're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Exactly.
Right. You know, something else that was just infuriating to me about the whole Capitol Hill thing was like some of the takes from like the libertarians, like the LP guys.
Oh my gosh.
That was the most enraging thing. Like, I expect the neoliberals to be trash and the neoconservatives to be trash.
Sure.
Like, That I can understand, right? I can deal with that. But some of the Libertarian Party takes were just mind-boggling to me.
Dude.
I actually have the tweet here that the LP put out. They said, this was while it was happening. This is not patriotism. This is not protesting. This is reprehensible violence and aggression and needs to stop now. We hope safety for all of those who work in the Capitol. I was a little bit triggered. That I'm not even gonna lie, when I read that,
and that was just a few hours into the thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, but you guys didn't say shit about all of last year.
Oh, well, no, they praised it, in fact. So it'd been one thing if they hadn't said anything, but they actually praised those riots that were actually, you know, ending up with businesses being burned down and all that stuff. So yeah, it's infuriating. And also this little turnabout where they're trying to say that, first let me say that they're talking about how this is aggression and violence. You never hear the LP ever say that those congressmen in there are mass murderers or thieves.
Like, right? They violate the NAP on like a minute by minute basis.
Yes. Yes.
And I know you've probably seen me. I've been saying this for a while a lot of, especially big L libertarians and even some damn ANCAPs just irritate the crap out of me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me too.
And it's just, and I was like, y'all hide, you guys use the NAP as a shield to hide your cowardice.
Yeah, that is, I don't, yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah. And then, you know, people are like, well, it's kind of like turning the other cheek. I'm like, God never said, Jesus never said, you don't defend yourself. He's just saying, once it's done,
right,
it's done. And there you go. It's more about forgiveness than it is anything else. But if you're right. attacked, you can defend yourself.
That's right. And it's also like, if you're like, if someone's personally a pacifist, I have no problem with that. But when sure. you're going out and going out of your way and attacking other people for defending themselves, right. that is when I'm like, okay, nah, that's enough. Right. You,
like, and it's dishonest, which is a violation of the net.
Right.
Dicks.
Right. It's you know, it's like, I think I have the, oh yeah. So Nick Sarwark, right? The former chair of the Libertarian Party, someone tweeted him, violence against the government is self-defense. Self-defense is not against the NAP. And he has so that woman who was murdered by the police, Ashley yeah. Babbitt, I believe was her name.
If you see the video, there's no way you can't.
Right.
If you're seeing yeah. it any other way, then you're lying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree with that. He said, so after this person said violence against the state is self-defense, he then said this woman believed the same thing. And then he posted the video or the screenshot of her dying. So, you know, at a certain point, you can't just say this guy is just stupid. At a certain point, you have to say, okay, this guy probably has some malicious intent behind him. Right. That's my own personal take. I don't know. Other people don't have to agree with that. But there is something where he's like, the kind of takes that he has are actively working against actual like anarchists and libertarians. Right.
Oh yeah. I mean, that dude's COINTELPRO to the, I mean, even Rothbard was talking about, they got infiltrated like in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, one more tweet I wanted to read. This is, Joe Bishop Henchman is his name.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the current LP chair, and, NPR put out like a little kind of like hit piece, kind of not hit piece on Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that she was a libertarian, right? And Joe Bishop Henchman, the current chair of the Libertarian Party, mind you, said, chair of the Libertarian Party here, whatever she called herself, she was not a member or a donor of anything in our party. All Libertarian Party members pledge not to use force to achieve political and social goals. Okay, so there's a couple things we can tear apart here, right? First, they never said that she was a member of the Libertarian Party. They just said she was a libertarian, and he felt the need to speak on behalf of people who just merely call themselves libertarians, whether like as if he has the right to determine, you know, who's libertarian, who's not, just because he's the chair of the party.
Like, so he has ownership of what that word means.
That's right. Yeah. So that's one thing. And then also this other thing, that all Libertarian Party members pledge not to use force to achieve political and social goals. That's just not true. Right. The NAP is not about force being used. It's not saying force being used is incorrect. It's right. saying the initiation of violence is incorrect.
Exactly. Right?
So they're constantly, these Libertarian Party members are constantly going out of their way to, let's be honest, they're defending the state. They're defending the state. They're defending the Capitol building, right? So even if you don't agree, and mind you, I agree with the people who say that they weren't in there for libertarian reasons. They were in there for maybe they wanted Trump to get another term. Okay, let's just take all that as true, right? Let's just accept that as true. You still don't go out of your way to defend the state. Right. Even if that is your opinion, you don't go out of your way and say, oh, no, we're against this use of force against the state. It's like these people in the Capitol, these people in government, like murder people. And that's not hyperbole. They are responsible for murder. They vote and they put their consent out there for these actions to happen. Right. They actively vote to continue to bomb children in the Middle East, just reprehensible, terrible things all the time, not to mention the amounts of theft and incarcerations that go on every day in America because of those people. And the Libertarian Party is more concerned about their image and being socially accepted by the people in power than they are actually, you know, they're more concerned with that than coming out and attacking a cop who murdered a self-described libertarian in the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. And that's enraging to me personally.
Like, you guys get more bent out of shape over mean words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that whole thing with Maj.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, why the hell are you talking to him like you're his damn mom? You know,
right.
He's a grown man. He's get in an argument with another male, but I always hated that. Like two dudes would, you know, start to go at it. And the girl goes, this is silly. You guys are so immature. And it's like, shut up.
Right.
You're about to do some man shit right now. Hold your horses. Right. But it was just like, she just started going at him. And I've seen her. She does that. Like, that's kind of, I guess, her hobby. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, January 6th, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, suck my dick.
Right.
And that's kind of what that was.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, okay.
And just for the record, Team Maj, Black Ops.
Oh, yeah, player. For sure.
All
for sure.
Control is racist, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. Now that I thought something, I did want to address an argument I've seen like libertarians make that are saying they're like, well, they didn't go in there for libertarian reasons. They went in to install, an illegitimate president is what I've seen some people say, right?
Aren't but they all?
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, okay, well, you can perfectly have that opinion. That's perfectly consistent for you to believe that, and I believe that, right?
Sure.
But that doesn't work as an attack against them in particular. That also works as an attack against the state, because even those people who were the electors who were about to swear in Biden, that's what was happening on January 6th, right?
Right.
That's why they went into the Capitol. Those people, those democratically elected electors who were going to go in there and, you know, officially make Biden the president, those people are also illegitimate by libertarian standards. So you can't just say that, well, you can't just attack the Trump supporters and not also attack the state as well, even if you do that, right? So that, like, yeah.
And not just libertarian standards. Probably legal standards as well.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
I've been using the Chuckles and Lysander Spooner hashtag a lot.
right.
Yeah. You know? And then there's like the Cato types. Good Lord.
Oh God.
The stuff that one dude, Andy Craig.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Looks like he probably roommate with Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. Andy Craig is insufferable.
I call him locker goblins. Because he looks like he spent a lot of time on the inside of a locker.
Right. Yeah.
Not that I agree with that.
But right. Yeah.
If you've seen his Twitter, he's a big nerd.
Yes.
And he's a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
They might have earned it.
Right. Yeah. Like to me, the Cato types and the Libertarian Party types, and as you were saying, right, a lot of these people are very blue pilled. And I think the best way to discern a blue pilled libertarian from just a red pilled one or just a normal libertarian, I'd say, is that the blue pilled libertarians are obsessed with being socially accepted by the people in power.
Yes.
Like they will bend over backwards to the people who are murderers, thieves, and probably pedophiles, allegedly. You know, we don't want to say too much here.
most likely
pedophiles.
I mean Pizzagate has aged better than Russiagate.
I love that tweet. Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't that Michael Malice?
But they will bend over backwards for these people who are just monsters, and they have the audacity to attack other libertarians who they think are not being prudent in their attacks against the state or against state officials, right? That to me is just like, you are, I'm going to be honest, I look at those people as not just impotent, I look at them as actually serving the current power base, right? They're serving the state in some way, because they're in some sense legitimizing them. They're bringing libertarianism down to a level where, as if it's just, you know, we just disagree on policy, right? No, that's not what libertarianism, as I understand it, says, right? It's much more of a moral.
We're socially liberal and fiscally conservative.
God. Yeah. Yeah. And it's born out of that. It's born out of that type of stuff, right? So the Cato people, Libertarian Party people, they just want to be accepted And they do, I think they care more about status than they do actually, you know, sticking their neck out on something that might be a little risky or something politically. And I think that's just what politics breeds. I think that's what, if you're in politics, that that it's always going to go there, right? You're always going to be faced with a challenge. Not every single person falls to this, but a lot of them do, right? This idea of popularity versus principle.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost seems like from what I've seen is like Cato is they're basically neocons, and then Reason or they're progressives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're so in love with themselves.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that's probably why they suck up to the state. Cause they, you know, probably was different at the beginning. I don't know.
And right. Then, well, it's also that, right, they're a bunch of like wonkish nerds. A lot of them, specifically the Cato people more.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And they get their ego stroked, and they get their dopamine rush. And
that's right.
Now they're good little puppies.
And it's like, well, if state goes away, who's going to invite them to all these think tanks, right? Like, yeah. So it's almost like they created this situation where fighting the state is actually counterintuitive to their goals now, even though it shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah, and it's just they've been going after Dave a lot. Dave Smith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just drop in and just make fun of them.
Yeah.
They deserve nothing but ridicule.
Yeah, yeah. No, seriously. Like, I think some people, like,
I just call them statist. I'll be like, right. I just, you know, just that stupid, quippy little, I just go, okay, statist.
Right, right. And like, you know, some people listening might think, oh, well, maybe that's a little too harsh. No, I disagree. These people are not, as I was saying before, they're not just impotent. They're actually serving the state, right? Yeah. In some way by legitimizing it. These people deserve nothing but ridicule and derision, in my honest opinion, right? Yeah, like, I'm sure I'm not saying everyone at Cato or everyone at Reason. I like a lot of what Reason puts out. I think they've done good work on like the drug war stuff, like documenting that. But ultimately, I think these types of organizations, besides for like just their reporting, when they get into the more of like the editorial stuff and the think tankish stuff, I think they're actually become a detriment to liberty.
Personally. And that's the part. Yeah. I'm not, you know, there's definitely a lot of nuance in that opinion. And, but yeah, it's definitely the think tank stuff. And it's like, it's like, you guys just want to be accepted by the CFR so damn bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
It's like, holy I'm surprised you guys don't have anybody in there. Oh, we probably do. Sarwak. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just silly. And like, they will do that. And that's why I don't argue any of the policy, because, you know, the way, oh, are you a Hoppian? Like, I never read that motherfucker. I don't know.
Right.
I was like, I don't read. No. But I've listened to, I listen to stuff while I work. And I listen to a lot of Rothbard stuff like that. Yeah. So, but you know, it's not even worth, you know, like you said, they're debate nerds and they're policy wonks. So whatever you say, they're going to think they're right. So I'm going to cut the chase. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't even.
I'm going to argue on my terms.
That's right. Yes. That's a yes. I 100%. Right. It's like, once you go down to their level, you're also like in some sense legitimizing their beliefs and debate, right? Yeah. Their tactics. It's because, like, well,
and they all try to sound so smart, and the more they go, you realize that I'm like, damn, that dude's dumber than me. Maybe I should go look at Cato.
Right, right. Because it's like, once you, if they're like having some big policy debate, right, or something like that, right, and if you're like me, or if you're like a lot of libertarians who are like, you know, this policy debate is pointless, or it's not pointless, but it doesn't really serve anything good, because the state is not concerned with policy. They're concerned with control. They use policy as a way to, make it seem like they're, you know, being receptive to democratic institutions and to the people and all that.
That's why they name bills the way they do.
That's right. Yeah.
It's all wizard words.
That's right. Yes. So once you like go down to their level and start debating policy, it's like you've kind of sacrificed a bunch of other like avenues of attack. You know what I mean? You've kind of boxed yourself into just one type of attack. And I think there's like many more effective ones, which honestly is just derision and ridicule. Like a lot of people look down on that and think it's mean, but like, I just want people to understand like the state, like my, one of my biggest problems with the Libertarian Party is that they do not call out these people for what they are because they're too concerned with popularity and status, right? I don't think, I've never seen a single tweet from the Libertarian Party account where I've ever seen them call a sitting senator or congressman or president a mass murderer, ever. I've never seen it happen, right? And they're unwilling to do this. And I think that that should tell a lot of libertarians right there, like who these people are and who they'll ultimately side with, right? If you could, like, if you're out there calling these people mass,
No, I was gonna say these libertarian, the LP would denounce the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yes, yes, they would. Yeah, and I mean their comments here, they would denounce the entire Revolutionary War.
Yes, they would.
Right. So like, that's what I was saying. It's like, you know, the way Nick Sarwark was talking, it's like he would have sided with the Tories, with the Redcoats.
Yeah. He's that dude in The Patriot. The dude that was there that acted like he was cool and then put on a British uniform and burned everybody he knew in that church.
That's right.
That's the Libertarian Party.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. Because these people will you cannot count on these people ultimately to have your back. And that's really sad for such, you know, like, let's be honest, a small movement compared to like the rest of American politics, right?
Yeah.
So if you can't even count on, you know, the party, which, you know, holds the name you hold to represent you in some way, then something really terrible big shift has to happen. You know what I mean? Like there has to be some upheaval.
I mean, that's why I like the Mises Caucus.
Right.
I mean, to me, I might be wrong. Didn't Ron Paul call them the libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party?
I think that was Ron Paul. Yeah.
I mean, and that's how I came into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Right.
That's, you know, I think it was like, I used to listen to Owen Benjamin. I think I've told this a bunch of times, but I used to listen to Owen Benjamin when he would do his show about jokes and stuff. And then he was on Dave Smith's show, and it was Dave Smith, Michael Malice, and Owen Benjamin.
Right.
And so then I started listening to them, and then heard Pete Quinones, and started listening to him, and then found everybody.
Right. Yep. That's how it happens a lot of the time. Yeah.
That's how I found out about Biting the Bullet and Status Quo and Veterans for Voluntarism. And then because of them are the reason I have a show.
Oh, yeah. 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 And there's so many like avenues. And that's also something funny, right? Is that I don't personally know anyone who actually got to libertarianism through the LP personally. Right.
I have not met one.
Yeah, no.
Everyone I know does, like the reason they haven't joined is because of the LP National.
Right. And I have this theory about the LP. Like, you know, there's always this, I'm not necessarily completely anti-LP. Like, I do think there's some, you know, benefit to it in the sense that in a theoretical aspect, it could act as like a bully pulpit where people could, you know, spread the message. But that's, if we're being honest, that's never been what it has been, right? It's like Ron Paul, his claim to fame was when he ran as a Republican, right? So the LP can't even claim credit for that.
And Murray Rothbard's the one that told him to run as a Republican.
That's right. Yeah. So it's like a lot of the people in the LP, it's like, yeah, you may get some people who are sick of the two-party system, and they may look at the LP and think, okay, I might, you know, join that. And it's possible that through that, they might also, you know, read Rothbard potentially, you know, maybe. But generally, from what I know about the National LP, it's like, it's much more geared towards the Cato type of people, right? It's kind of like self-referential with that, where they just kind of like cycle in and out, and then it's,
it's almost like the LP has its own two-party system. It's Cato and Reason, and they just kind of switch out.
Right, right.
Yeah,
And it's like, you know, the LP, it might bring some people in. I'm not even saying that people who make the argument is wrong, and it's obviously not wrong, but it's also, you know, I think it also traps people, right? So you have to think, how many would be radicals or like people who are like, no, the state, you know, we're the people who would think, okay, we're not going to fight the state on their own terms. We're not going to, you know, give them that amount of respect or legitimacy. How many of those people are lost because they're trapped inside the LP's little game? You know what I mean? So they're just kind of caught up in that.
Yeah, I like what Angela McArdle, I like the way she described it. She's like, they've turned it into like their little social club.
And yeah.
They don't want to, they don't want people like us in there because, you know, we want to do things.
Right.
And, you know, if they really actually have to stand up for something, you know, they got to nut up. And I don't think they want to do that. I think a lot of them probably came from either, you know, the DNC or the RNC, and they couldn't make it there. So it's kind of like a, it's kind of like people that aren't that great. So they can't get a recording contract. So they record like on a Christian label or a country label or something.
Right.
Cause it's easier to get on. And it's almost like that. And so they get to be a big fish in a small pond relatively.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's that's what they don't want to give up.
Right. It's like, I don't remember who first said this, but I loved it when I heard it. It was like, the LP serves as a place where rejected Republicans and Democrats can go to become famous in their little social club, which is, I find to be quite true, right? Gary Johnson, awesome. Bill Weld. It's like, these are the people who never made it to the big leagues, but this is their chance to be like the most popular little league players. And it's I think that actually turns out to be true.
Yeah. That's all. That's yeah. And the thing is failed as they are, they still have a ton of connections.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. There's a lot of money that goes into the LP.
Yeah. And yeah. I wonder how much is from Raytheon.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a lot.
Yeah. Well, now that Sarawak's not there, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I'll take any chance I get to sling
money. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So the libertarian responses, you know, those were just as bad, you know, as the media responses and everybody else. I mean, holy crap. The Republican senator, even Ted Cruz, like the day before, he was talking a whole bunch of shit.
Right.
And then like by that night, he was, boy, they got sold out quick, fast, in a hurry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, look what Trump did, right? Is that,
He did it too.
Yeah. Trump sold these people up the river without a paddle.
Yeah. It's like, you want to see several new angles of the Zapruder film that you haven't seen, you
know? Right. Right.
Like, this is how it's going to happen, bud.
Yeah. It, and you know, that is just so dirty to me. I mean, obviously you shouldn't expect much out of politicians, but Trump did call those people there on January 6th for a big rally.
Yeah.
And you know, there is something to the fact that he did kind of egg them on in some sense. Right.
Yeah. And he said, we're going to march to the Capitol.
Right. And then he has the, you know, the absolute audacity to then come out late. I think it was later that night or at the day after, and he concedes, right?
Right.
And he's like, we have to respect law and order. We have to do all this other stuff. And then, I think putting this in his mouth, but I thought it was, he said, we have to, you know, these people will be brought to justice or something.
Yes. To that. He said, we'll prosecute. Yeah. They will be prosecuted. And,
yeah,
and Pence like, was saying, Pence said, to the fullest extent of the law.
Right. Yeah. No, that's so dirty. I mean, I shouldn't expect much from it, but it's just still on a, like, not even a political level, but just a personal level. That's really, really nasty.
Yeah. And I was like, we need to be red pilling conservatives.
Oh, I think they're going to. I don't think much is going to happen. Like, when the Capitol thing happened, I didn't think much would happen from it. But I actually think you're going to like radicalize conservatives by them being kicked off of all these platforms and essentially being depersoned, right? They're being depersonalized by society at large, right?
Yeah. It's they've been trying to deperson people all last year. I mean, that's what the mask, that's what the masks are really about. Because all these masks, if you look on the back of the box, it, at least all the ones that I've shown, because I was in Sam's Club with no mask, and someone got mad, and I was actually walking by, and they were wearing like one of those medical masks, and it happened, like, no shit, I was going to get nicotine gum, and the masks are right there by the bathroom. So people are coming out of the bathroom, they see the mask, they buy the mask, you know. And she said something, and I just pulled the box off. I looked at the back, and there it is, does not prevent COVID-19. And I just pointed to it right there. I'm like, that one, that mask, that one you're wearing? Yeah, cool, bye.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she happened to be kind of a large person in, right, in one of those little carts. And she's like, well, you don't care about my health. I'm like, why should I? You don't.
The way you can, like, and it's not that I personally think COVID is fake, right? But it's like,
no, it's a real thing. But yeah,
but it's the point that
it's not the thing they're saying it is.
Right. Oh, absolutely. It's also like, you know, we didn't have this type of thing for the flu or like influenza, right? Or H1N1 a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the swine flu.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So you have all these things. And then, you know, even if we want to say that, well, COVID is deadlier, which when you actually look at the numbers, it doesn't, like, I don't know. I haven't studied it too much, but looking at the numbers from a layman's perspective, it doesn't seem that much more deadly than most other like flu types. As far as, well, if you have existing preconditions, then yeah, maybe it is more deadlier than the common flu. I'll give you that, right?
Well, I remember 2019, my grandmother who passed away, she had fell and had, we're trying to get her a hospital room, and they were saying there was no beds available. This was like in October, November time. And they said it's the worst flu they'd ever seen, and all the beds are full and all that stuff. And I think that's what that was. And
oh, right, yeah.
And it's just weird, you know.
Yeah. Yep. And it's because you don't see this type of like religious fanaticism in like a cultish way type of way towards other type of flus, right? Like this is just for like, that's how, why I think it's like towards the state, right? This is just the state drumming up people's fears. And it's apparent that it is, because it's like, no one acted this way for the flu. And mind you, a lot of people die every year from the flu, and that's not to say it's okay or excusing it, but that's just to say, hey, look.
But less people died in 2020 than they did in 2018 and 2019.
Oh yeah, okay.
The numbers are lower.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh wow. Yeah. So and of course, right, when you tell people that, look, the flu cases are approaching 0% this year, they'll say that, oh, that's because the masks are working, right? But then they'll also say in the same sentence, oh my God, look how bad COVID is getting now, right?
Yeah. So it's like, why is that? Because no one's wearing masks.
Right. So it's like they're trying to have it both ways simultaneously.
Oh yeah. Like we went out to eat last night, and I guess there's this new approved mask, and it like goes around, and like it's got like this little brace like on your chin. Mm-hmm. This little plastic thing that like covers your nose and mouth, but it's open on the top and the sides and everything. God. And I was like, what are you wearing? And she goes, oh, these are the new COVID masks that we're allowed to wear and stuff like that. She goes, isn't it great? I'm like, but it doesn't do anything though. She's like, oh no, it controls droplets. And I'm like, oh, there's that word. There's that, oh, you believed that silly ass little spell, didn't you?
Right.
I'm like, your resistance to magic sucks.
Yeah. And remember, they at the start of this whole thing, the CDC was making people go crazy because this was one of the, like, this was a very unique disease because asymptomatic spreaders could spread the virus asymptomatically, right?
So spreader.
Yeah, super spreader. So the idea was that any one of us could be a ticking time bomb at any point and not know it. And that's why that was like, that was the original reason why people like got masks and barricaded themselves in their homes, right? That the asymptomatic thing was the main reason why this happened. And then it came out, oh yeah, actually we have no evidence that there's asymptomatic spreaders.
Uh-huh. And I'm like,
right, the CDC said that.
And I remember when they said that, I'm like, but if you don't have a fever, then you're not sick.
Right.
And I'm like, so you can't spread it. I'm like, even if you are sick after you don't have a fever, you don't spread it anymore. That's for everything.
Yeah.
And then they're saying like basically the opposite of anything, you know. It's like, I go, I'm just like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I know I'm simple and shit, but it just, that, why is it that all of a sudden this thing, this particular thing doesn't follow any medical or scientific pathways at all.
Right. And
at least this, to the point of what they're saying.
Yeah, sure.
But it's like, you know, even Trump, I remember when he said this, I'm like, I'm looking around like no one got it. I'm like, when he called it the invisible enemy. I'm like, oh shit, this is the new war on terror. Fuck.
Yeah, invisible, because it's such a perfect thing, right? If you're going to have, if you want to prolong something, fight, if you just say there's an invisible enemy, then you're always going to be on guard. You're never going to put your guard down. You're never going to have, be able to have leisure time, right, for anything like that. You're going to produce a state of mass hysteria, literally, right? Because that, yeah. I think that's what this is. It's fair to say this is a state of mass, and that's not to say it's fake, right?
No, and it has real psychological and physiological repercussions. I mean, if you get that stressed out to the where you're just having like that adrenaline dump all the time of being, you know, from fear, I mean, that makes you susceptible to a persuasion.
That's right.
And manipulation, yeah. But you will also sickness, all kinds of things, heart attacks.
And a lot of people suffered from like really bad anxiety and depression before this. And I'm sure it's just exacerbated with.
Oh, sure. Right? There's more people, I think. Okay. I don't have a Jamie to look this up. But I had heard that almost more people, oh no, okay, this guy goes, more people my age have died from suicide this year than they did of COVID.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's true for like the 20, 30 age range.
Yeah. And I mean, but how many more cancer deaths are you going to have? Because
oh my God, yeah, right, because there's no screenings.
No, none. I mean, heart attacks, prevent, you know, things that can be treated or maybe, you know, if caught in time, can be treated or mitigated, and all those things are going to come under the wire now.
Yeah. And that's going to be like a third and fourth order effect, and most people are not going to be able to connect that back to COVID, right? No. They're not going to be able to see that these lockdowns made it so these people were more susceptible to these diseases and later died from like cancer, heart attack, stroke, all these things.
Yeah. Right? And that's going to be ripples for like a decade or more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, forget about the money.
Oh yeah.
You know, never mind that 60% of the US dollar in circulation was created this year. I can't even say printed.
That's wild.
I wish I would have paid more attention to Bitcoin when it first came out. And I sure shit wish I'd, you know, when it dropped down to like 4,000 or 5,000, I wish I would have bought some then.
Right.
I don't know. I bought brass and lead and stuff. And food. But I do get the argument, like, I just don't understand Bitcoin. But when I hear libertarians say it's not real money, I'm like, neither are dollars, dude.
Yeah, you're talking. Right. And it's like your gold, there's no gold standard anymore either.
Yeah, I'm like, are you trading in like sterling or what?
Right. Yeah.
And like, none of it's real.
Right.
And, you know, I grew up around grandparents and stuff, and they just always told me, if you can't hold it in your hand, you don't own it.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and they all lived through the Depression. So they had people in the family that lost farms because they had leveraged it with the bank to invest in the stock market.
Yeah.
And they were just like, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. Now, I would treat it, I guess I could see, you know, maybe Bitcoin, maybe a hedge against inflation of the dollar and things like that, or maybe as an investment opportunity. Sure.
Sure. But I mean, I think like with Bitcoin, it's like the HODL thing, right? Whether you hold on to it and it's going to increase in value over time as more people get into it.
Yeah. I mean, you could use it like a high risk savings account. You
know? Sure. Yeah.
What happens to the Bitcoin if the grid shuts off?
Well, actually, I do think there was, I do think someone was able to send Bitcoin through a radio transmission or a radio wave. I'm not technically advanced enough to like know how they did that, but I do think they did it. So that is possible.
Oh, okay. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. I'm like, I figured people would be trading in like, you know, like I almost want to go to like Sam's Club and buy like big boxes of like those little travel toothbrushes and toothpaste.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm like, shit, that might be worth some bank one day.
I think bullets also would probably be a, like almost like a medium of exchange too, in like some apocalyptic.
If I'm trading bullets, things went bad.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Because I'm not using that as money.
Right. If it went really bad, people would be like trading bullets.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, it's one time use, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I don't know. I've read probably too many books, but I think there's one called The Survivors or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was an economic collapse, which I think is, you know, everyone mm-hmm. says there's going to be a civil war. I'm like, Civil War II or whatever, World War III. I'm like, yeah, probably. I was like, but that's going to be after the financial collapse.
That's right. People are too comfortable to actually like riot. Or, I mean, even with the riots we're seeing now, it's only like a very small portion of the population. You can't really even call it.
Yeah, they're getting pizza after.
That's right.
You know, they're taking they're going home and taking a shower in their nice hotel that, you know, some non-governmental agency bought for them. And
that's right.
You know what? You know, I mean, a lot of people just don't get that, you know, as rude as people are now, that that civility or what's left of it is it was a thin veneer to begin with.
That's right.
Yeah. And now it's damn near sheer. And it don't take long, man. It's, a couple days.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Things can like snowball easy.
Yeah. Very
easy.
It's like, forget when there's not much at the supermarket. What if there is no supermarket?
That's right. Yeah.
That's what you need to be worried about.
Yeah. It's like, you know, what's that old saying? These things happen very slowly and then suddenly, right? And that's usually how these two type of things happen.
Yeah. You know, I was pointing out the thing with
it's too late.
Yeah. Pointing out the toilet paper thing. I'm like, imagine that, but it's everything.
Right. Right.
That's the stuff that's got me worried.
Oh yeah. Like, I think like the one legit criticisms you can have of capitalism is that it's almost so good at what it does at producing like incredible amounts of wealth that it makes people very complacent, which is a good thing and bad thing. It's a double-edged sword, right?
Right.
So it's like, it makes people much more able to put up with like tyranny. It's not affecting them as much.
As opposed to communism where everyone's equal. And
that's right. Right.
Everybody's starving to death.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, I'll take a little bit of inequality just to.
That's right. Yeah.
Not having to eat my dog.
Right.
And which I would never do.
Right. Of course.
If it came to it, I don't care if I don't care if your niece is starving to death. You touch my dog, I'm going to shoot you both.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And like at that point, I'll have to say, don't you remember John Wick? Like, I identify with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we don't have kids. We've got dogs. So, wanted kids, but it's not going to happen. Uh-huh. So. Uh-huh. But yeah, we got the dogs. And last year, our Pekingese and our Boxer passed within a year of each other, both from cancer. And so last year, we rescued a Shih Tzu and a Pity.
Oh, that's great! I love people who like get rescue animals.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what our last two were too.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Our Pekingese we adopted. We didn't know exactly how old he was, but apparently he was like when he got cancer. Like Lola died. I don't want to talk about that, but
yeah.
And my Pekingese name was Bernie, and not after Bernie Sanders. I didn't even know who Bernie Sanders was, but his name was Bernard. And I'm like, I'm not calling him Bernard. I'll call him Bernie, you know? And, my boxer's name was Lola. And you know, that song, you know, her name was Lola.
Right.
She was a showgirl. I'm like, she's the dancer and Bernie's her manager. But like, you know, his ordeal was really drawn out, and I probably spent I spent like $7,000.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I was given that son of a bitch CBD oil out the ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I told the oncologist, I'm like, hey, I'm giving him CBD oil. She goes, good, keep giving it to him.
Yeah.
She's like, it's not gonna cure it. She's like, but it's gonna make it better. And it did.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so she's like, I can't officially tell you that. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm doing
the right
work, you know. Yeah. But I don't even know why I was told all that, but yeah, we do rescue dogs. And
oh, that's nice. Yeah,
there's a guy, I think his name's Terry Shepard. He's one of the Liberty goons on Twitter. Good dude, freaking goddamn, almost a superhero. But he'll rescue like elderly dogs and shit.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of the special operations guys on Twitter that's what they do.
Oh yeah. That's great. Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's God's work right there.
Oh yeah. I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, there was this one tweet going back to, circling back to like the Capitol, right, thing.
Yeah, sorry. I will go down.
Oh, no, no. It's
bad.
Oh, no, 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 no. I love rabbit holes. That was great. There was this one tweet I saw that I thought was really funny. It was like, the government doesn't like it when the people do a no-knock raid on their house.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I think I had shared one like that too. It was the dude, it was like the office one where he's the top with John Krasinski.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, January 6th is like, was just a no-knock raid on the feds.
That's right.
And I'm like, Joshua Smith. And actually, Spike Cohen actually had a pretty decent one.
Yeah.
You know, furry thing aside. But I was like, you know what? That was pretty good. Like, I don't know what else he said about it, but that right there was pretty cool. But Josh, you know, Josh Smith, you know, he's a veteran too. He was in the Navy. And he's like, hey, just think about this. The people that are cowering and hiding against a bunch of unarmed Republicans that are just wandering the halls. Right. Because these are the same people that will send your sons and daughters to die and kill just so they can get reelected.
Like, I'm going to be honest here, and people can think what they want of me. I will never get tired of seeing those people cower in fear. Like, it is hilarious to me watching them. Like, just like, these are like chicken hawks, right? That's what they are.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As you're saying, they'll send your sons and daughters to go and die for absolutely no reason. And then, like, as you're saying, some unarmed, like, conservative boomers walk in unarmed. They were not armed. Like, I think a lot of people, like, maybe not, like, realize that. Those people were not armed. They were not flashing any weapons. They never, to my knowledge, they never even drew weapons.
Yeah. You want to talk about restraint. I mean, right. the year prior in Virginia, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so, I love what Bird said. He's like, it'd be really funny if it was leftist, like Antifa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then I'd be worried that they destroy all that priceless art and everything.
Because, that's right.
Because I'm actually relieved that it was a bunch of Republicans, because the worst thing is going to happen is some bro conservative is going to get too drunk and throw up on a cop.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
And gosh, it was funny.
Yeah, seeing those people just cower in fear. And there was that one tweet, I think, they were like, so when it was happening, they locked the journalist in like the basement underneath the Capitol. And apparently there were like 400 journalists, and apparently they were like live tweeting from the basement or whatever. And they were, and one of them was like,
it probably looked like a rave in there.
Yeah, and people were like, this one journalist was saying, there's people next to me panicking and crying. And it's just like, oh, this is dopamine to me. This is just the dopest. Oh.
Oh man, it'd been funny if like somebody cool was in there and just started roasting people for being scared.
Right.
Like Ryan Long or something. Oh, he should do a skit about that. Yeah. I was just thinking of what, when you were talking about describing, you know, how they were cowering, and they were, you know, they've like, oh man, like it was the end of the world. And I was like, I missed the opportunity, and I should have done it where it was like that picture. Like I pictured, like, there's a specific picture on Twitter that I saw that popped in my head when you were talking about that. And I was like, it's, you know, it was like the two frame memes. Mm-hmm. And on the bottom one was that one with the dude from Pineapple Express and the noose. And he's like, first time.
Yeah. Right.
Welcome to the party. You know, that you got to feel like we do.
Yeah, it's like these people, you know, spread terror, and I don't use that term hyperbolically. They spread terror across the world, and then they also fund training actual terrorists in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I mean, holy shit! Why didn't this happen? It should have been left and right out in, at the Capitol when this stupid stimulus bill came out.
Yeah, right. All of that money going to all these foreign countries for the United States COVID relief bill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you just put us all on the hook for all of that. It's like, how obvious does it have to get? I mean, are they going to have to start guillotining motherfuckers in the street before people get it?
These people sell your unborn children's lives off into debt slavery, right? And it's just like they have there's no remorse, no sorry. These people are not sorry. They're cowards, right? They only appear like to be strong when they have armed security nearby. And even when they do, they're still cowering in their, you know, behind the seats of Congress. And it's just like, these people are just like,
and everyone's like, yeah, the left is bad. I'm like, dude, it's Republicans too. There's like 3 degrees of difference.
Yeah.
The only thing they disagree on is where the money goes.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the Republican response, right? They weren't like, you know, they didn't defend these people at all, which I mean, I wasn't expecting them to, but it's like, you know, it just showed like those protesters that, yeah, no, these Republicans don't have your back either.
Yeah, they could have just not said shit.
Right, exactly.
They didn't have to say anything, but they couldn't get in front of that camera fucking fast enough.
Yeah, or they could have just, you know, done their little political double speak and say, they could have done a bunch of other things, but no, they took no time just to sell these people out.
Oh, yeah, they couldn't do it quick enough, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, I mean, and then you had, what's his name? The Dan Crenshaw coming out, running his damn mouth again. I mean, that guy is so wonderful.
Have you seen the takes of that this was worse than 9/11?
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, really? Because I was in the army on 9/11.
It is like,
pretty sure those people in the towers would disagree.
Right. Like, I'm sorry, but the like journalists, journalists and politicians, like how anyone can like that. Like, honestly, if you were a person who was like, I really didn't like the people invading the Capitol, after those people said that, it's like, okay, actually maybe that was justified, because you don't, that's not something you feel comfortable ever saying, right? Of stuff. It's like, so you have 3,000 people murdered in one day, and then you have some broken glass and some broken door frames in the Capitol building. And you're comparing these, because mind you, this is like their civic religion, right? This is like
state theism.
Yes, I love that term. So to them, this was the Capitol is almost now forever sullied, right? And it goes beyond that. They are embarrassed that, you know, the plebeians got through the door.
Yeah. Oh, I love that meme. It was freaking Osama bin Laden. He goes, wait, you mean all I had to do was walk in?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. There was another tweet from a couple people made. I don't remember who made it, but it was like, you know, domestic terror training terrorists work so well overseas, they're now bringing jobs back to America.
And that's the thing, dude. They're all, you know, ringing their pearls of, and like, man, I can't wait. Oh gosh, the bills they're gonna craft, because,
oh yeah,
or I'm not gonna say gonna craft, they've had these and ready to go, just like the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
They had that thing ready to go. They had that thing written since 1980 something.
Yeah.
Oh god, I lost my point.
Well, it's going to be, but used these people, to attack.
These people are like, were acting like it was Christmas Day, bro.
Oh, yeah. And, no, they're going to use this to like just put a bunch of terrible things through. It's going to be absolutely terrible.
And you hear them talking like they were almost orgasmic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but they were just, it's, you know, it's faux outrage out, you know, But, you know, even like on the 6th, but all of 2020, you know, all the rioting, I'm like, that's what we have people do to their governments all over the world.
Oh, that's right. You know, all these like CIA and CIA backed journalists talking about how, like, you know, this was an inherent threat to democracy, while at that very moment, CIA is probably working on overthrowing at least 4 or 5 countries' democratic elections, right? Oh, it's like they've been doing this from the 50s. And it's like, they obviously have. But see, that's the thing, right? Is that this is a post-truth society. None of that matters, right? No facts matter. Only the narrative matters.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about the feels.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I talk to somebody, they're like, well, I feel like, I don't care.
Right.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And I'll get pushback. Like, if what I feel is irrelevant too, it's just what the truth is. Right. You know, what's the facts, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
And it is weird. It's nuts, man. And then you got state theism,
mm-hmm.
which is neo-libs and neocons.
Yeah.
And then you got scientism, which is like, which is like the Scientology of state theism.
Believe in the science.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no shit. It's like the Scientology wing of state theism.
Right.
It's like, believe in the science. Like, yeah, but this scientist said, well, no, not that one.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's capital S science, man. You know, they're the little lab coat. It's like a priest.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And Fauci's the Pope.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And never forget that Trump was a part of all of this government.
Oh, absolutely. Overreach. I mean, he was one who introduced Fauci, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Fauci's goes all the way back to the HIV AIDS days, man.
Yeah.
AZD. And all
But I'm saying, like, Trump even brought him to the forefront, like when the COVID thing happened, and he kind of like bolstered his credibility by that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, he did. He put him out there. And yeah. Dr. Birx, too, which she should have been court-martialed. The crap that happened with her.
Right.
I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But people have like the memories of a hamster. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I'll forget and I'll be, oh, shit, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the Republican Party kind of committed suicide.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had to actually, I think I had before it actually, like, it was, I think it was on the 6th, I had a tweet like, the best thing Trump ever did was like murder the Republican Party or something like that. It's like, these people now, like, there's good and bad things that will happen from this, but one good thing that from my perspective might happen is that some of these conservatives, especially seeing how they're being treated now, knowing that they don't have a home anymore, could become much more radical. And I think that's a very good thing.
It very well should, you know, hopefully that happens, you know, hopefully they don't settle down and then they send someone out that sounds pretty.
Because look, like the neoliberal establishment, these people are going to impose their tyranny. They're going to do it no matter what, right? So once you accept that as a reality, then it's like, you can either go and, you know, you can kind of like go gentle into the good night, or you can just become a radical and say, no, I'm not going to take this anymore, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I'm like, hey, you know what? A lot of you guys on the right are really good at making stuff, right? You ever heard of agorism?
Right. Get them some 3D printers and just, maybe teach them about Bitcoin. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm going to 3D print some truck nuts.
Right.
No, that was very stereotypical and a dick thing to say. And I hate it when the people from the city do that. I'm a redneck, so I can say that shit.
Right, right.
But I draw the line at truck nuts, though. I mean, it's really, really easy to get the right to open up and think about other things anyway, because typically they're willing to have a conversation. But now that their club is in disarray and they've seen how they just sold them out like so fast, dude. And, you know, all the Republicans that said they were going to fight because of we have to defend the legitimacy of elections. And that's why they said they were doing it. Not about Trump, right? but they sure as hell changed their minds on that shit real quick.
That's right. And
that's what it was really about, you know.
Oh yeah,
they just care about legitimate. You gotta, you know, anytime the FBI screws up, like, you know, they won't talk about it because then they look illegitimate. And if people think they're illegitimate, then people don't listen to them and then they have no power.
Right. And when I said I think they're going to become radical, I don't necessarily mean they're going to become libertarians, but I do think it's I do think it's even better if they become not better. But I do think it's a consolation prize if they become more radical in the direction that they are, rather than just becoming like a moderate Republican, who I think are like the real enemies, along with like.
No. Yeah. No, I'm saying when I say outreach to the right, I mean, I mean, help them skip over that LP.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but yeah. Let me save you a year and just come over this way.
That's right. That's right. I do think it's pretty impressive though, like how a bunch of them have turned on the police. It might not be for the same reasons other people are, but it's like, you know, at that rally, you had some of those Trump supporters at the Capitol Hill, like outside calling the cops pigs. And that's an incredible thing.
Well, there's this dude that was like, this old retired Marine was like laying into him. He's like, we had your back this whole time.
Yeah, I saw
that. He goes, and you've done nothing but screw us over. You don't have our backs. Well, we don't have yours anymore either.
Like, that's a monumental shift.
And people started, like, that was a bunch of people started chanting that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like also the night before that, there was like a big like Antifa versus like Trump rally. And
yeah, that was the night before that video. Yeah.
So the Antifa and the Trump people fought for a little bit. And then I'm pretty sure the cops started like getting in between them, and they both started attacking the cops. And that was pretty awesome.
Never thought I'd find myself fighting beside a.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, wow. That's got to be wild.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'm not saying go out there and beat up cops, but I get it.
Only in Minecraft. Yeah.
But it's kind of like the whole thing. I think doing what they did on, you know, storming the Capitol, was it the brightest thing to do? Probably not, but I get it.
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I totally get it. Yeah.
Fortunately, those people are probably going to go to prison, right? But yeah.
Yeah, according to Donald Trump.
Yep.
Well, we can continue this Russia investigation, and then you will no longer have the help of the federal government and use taxpayer money to defend yourself, and we could just keep this going until you're broke. And he's like, I think I'd just like to go back to New York.
Right. And, you know, these people put so much faith into Trump, right? And for him just to like stab him in the back is like just,
he's a 1980s Democrat.
But I hope that's like a wake up call for him, right? Yeah. I hope that's like, you know, you put so much faith into this man and this is how little your loyalty was rewarded for it.
It's like, I thought you guys knew who he was. I mean, it's like the parable with the scorpion. It's like, what do you expect? I'm a scorpion.
That's right. It's just his nature.
Yeah. Well, that just tells you how lame the Republican Party is that was that John, a Democrat got him excited.
Right.
Or that tells you how far, how little, you know, there was in between. I mean, I swear if Donald Trump ran as a Democrat, he would have beat Hillary then and then beat whoever the Republicans ran. Probably would have beat Ted Cruz, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Republicans had like just terrible candidates all around, right? Yeah, like,
please clap. They wanted Jeb, dude. They did, though.
Oh, they tried. Yeah, they definitely tried.
Oh, yeah. It would be like a Rocky IX, you know, Clinton versus Bush again, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But they're exactly the same. So
right. To say one good thing about Trump, though, is that he did kill the Republican Party and he did destroy the Trump and Clinton, the Bush and Clinton legacy. Right.
That's also true.
Yeah. So he deserves a little bit of credit for that. So I think
he does. Yeah. He wasn't completely terrible, but I mean, he's a shit talker.
Sure. Yeah. But I think that like that's one of the things I like about him is that he gets all the like very bad people angry. Right.
I guess when I say shit talker, like that part's funny. Like his Twitter is hilarious, but I'm just saying like he's a bullshitter is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But he's just more open about it, right?
But he's like, but that's that whole grandiose thing. Like,
oh yeah.
We all know that person. He always knows a guy. He's always got the biggest, the best, the most beautiful, you know, everything.
Yeah.
But you're like, dude, I've seen your car. It's a piece of shit. Like, you know, and it just ends up just being way bigger than what it really is. And, you know, he's a good talker, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I voted for him the first time, but you know, I did it. I was like, this is going to piss them off so bad. And that was the only reason I did it. I was like, this is going to piss people off if he wins. And I just, right. I'm here for it. And
then these people did lose their minds, right? Like there's a deep psychosis with it. A lot of people are very unwell because of him. And I think that's fantastic.
There's people that had to get put on medication because Trump was a president. I'm like, are you serious?
Yep.
Like, how easy is your life?
Right.
I remember when, you know, I was a conservative at the time, but I remember when Obama won, I was like, that sucks. I got to go to bed. I got to work in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I just turned off the radio for 8 years. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. There's just people that are just so emotionally and spiritually invested in this stuff. And that's not healthy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably a good wrapping up spot.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. This was a blast.
Yeah, brother. I'm sorry. I talked all the whole time.
Oh no, not at all. No, I'm sorry for like, you know, talking too much.
No, it's fine. No, you're the guest. You're... I guess it's the first time I've podcasted sober. So.
Okay. No, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, man. And where can people find you, man? They don't know you already.
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at @ace_archist.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yep. All right. Thanks so much, man.
All right, man. Have a good night. And thanks for coming on again.
Yep, you too.
All right.